Listen now and hear these words from the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what else to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, for this day we give you thanks for your words of Scripture, for the teachings of Jesus Christ, for the stories we have to tell. We pray now, O God, that we would receive rest and comfort, a sense of release from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Paparazzi Peter. He's peering in on Jesus and Elijah and Moses. This, for him, could be a career maker. But there's just one problem. He doesn't have a camera. He doesn't have any film. He really doesn't have anything. We can sympathize with Peter's dilemma. But we also know that Peter would have done us a huge favor if he had just been a little more prepared. We could visit today his shrine built to immortalize this moment if only Peter had been a little better prepared. Imagine our gap in history without the 26 seconds of film shot with an 8mm camera on November 22nd, 1963, the life and death of JFK. Or imagine what the world would be like, or our history, without the grainy footage of Neil Armstrong taking one small step for man, complete with that scratchy audio as he first stepped on the moon. Or imagine what the world would be without your LP of Tommy, the world's first rock opera. It's a good thing that The Who are now available on redigitized and remastered CDs, along with every other LP. For those of you that don't know, those are those big vinyl records. Because it's becoming increasingly more and more difficult to find a working stereo with a working radio or record player. And if you own a copy of the series I Love Lucy on Betamax, remember those? Well, forget it. How about those 8-track tapes of Tony Bennett? Yay! I couldn't believe it. A couple years ago, I did a funeral up in Johnsonburg, PA. I walked into the funeral home. I'd never been in there before, and I'm in what looks to be a little office, and I'm listening to this music, thinking, this is kind of odd music. And I look in a corner, and I kid you not, it was being played on an 8-track. I'm thinking, whoa, have I ever taken a step back in time? And what even amazed me more is that you could understand the music. It wasn't all stretched out. Well, it hurts to think about a little bit of our past history becoming obsolete because we like to hang on to history. As the parents of baby boomers are entering into retirement communities, their storage closets, left unexplored for decades, have become fascinating excavation sites, revealing both the history of their own precious moments from their family, as well as a history of the home movie camera. The L8mm cameras, the Super 8, the camcorder, the Super Cam, the digital camcorder, the MX Pro mixer with FireWire technology. I remember the first camera I saw that was so tiny, and I said, where do you put the tape? And she said, it's a CD. These closet digs show that the first generation of parents were pretty good at using those home movies and did a pretty decent job of documenting Christmas morning and birthday parties and graduations and weddings. And clearly, today's parents are following in their footsteps by documenting all of the usual life-changing moments of their children, as well as those transformative transitions from fetus to newborn, from that little crawler to walker, from that preschooler to that kindergartner. But because technology has gotten easier and cheaper, or because maybe we've just become a little more self-centered, parents today are also capturing those not-so-special moments. Little Amber eating French fries, sitting in a wagon, banging on the piano, digging in the dirt, rolling in the leaves, playing on the telephone, wearing a hat, smelling a flower, holding a book, watching TV, singing a new song, throwing a ball, kicking a ball, hitting a ball, sitting on a ball, dropping a ball. You get the picture. And if you're the Brighton family in New York, you have captured more than 1,800 minutes of videotaped footage. You have over 3,000 still photographs of your daughter Courtney's life. And when you had all of that, she was only 6 years old. Can you say overexposure? Courtney may be cleaning out those closets some 40 years from now only to discover countless number of faded photographs, a mountain of obsolete cartridges or DVDs with no working equipment to play them on. Technology is moving so quickly that sooner than we expect, that documentation of daily life and living that we so painstakingly took care of may soon be rendered a waste of time and obsolete. We're losing history. This, despite the fact that more and more people are documenting daily life and living. You'd better believe it that if President Kennedy rode through Dallas today, there would be thousands of individuals recording that event on some type of a video system. The memory book business is booming as young mothers search craft stores for the latest acid-free paper and bookkeeper archival stuff that can go on. The home movie to videotape to CD business is thriving. Well, we want to preserve every special moment, and yet, armed with camcorders in one palm, hermetically sealed scrapbooked in the other arms, countless files filled with images and personal data in our computers, are we not in danger of actually missing something even more monumental? Missing in our craving to capture it, the God-given moment itself. Peter, of course, didn't have a camcorder. He didn't have a digital camera. He didn't have a micro tape recorder to capture this extraordinary moment of witnessing Jesus standing there on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah. It was literally a once-in-a-lifetime experience for three ordinary Joes who, as disciples, were still searching for a clue. Peter, understandably, was awestruck. It was to have been a quiet retreat, a time away from the crowds with Jesus. But an extraordinary event began to unfold in front of them, a moment in history so sacred that Peter, as vice president in charge of doing everything, had to do something. Well, Jesus, how about if we build something to remember this moment? To preserve it? We're not told how he was going to do that up on a mountaintop, whether he had a hammer and a saw ready, or whether he had a few other fisherman's tools in his belt, but your options are limited when all you've got is perhaps a sewing needle. Probably unless you're Martha Stewart. But then Peter was never one to let details get in the way of a dream. But then a cloud kind of dimmed the moment. However, before Peter could throw anything together out of the voice or out of the cloud, a voice says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." God didn't say, "Hey, the three of you go over there with the other three, line up according to height or according to age, and let me get a picture of you while you're there." Rather, God simply said, "Listen to him." Have you ever heard these words that we are to do two times as much listening as we are speaking? That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. See, Peter, who wanted to keep the moment from passing, was in danger of passing the moment because he was worried about other things. And let's face it, we know how easy it is to be distracted in life. Our lives are noisy. Televisions, radios, VCRs, DVDs, quad speakers, telephones. I mean, how many telephones do we have with us today? MP3 players, construction tools, computer games, all fill our world with never-ending sound. It is hard. It can be hard to hear the voice of God these days. But listen, we must. Always, always remember. If anything else, remember this good news from this Transfiguration Sunday, as that voice still says to us today. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, our calling and our task is to listen to him. We pray that we might hear the words of Jesus Christ. For it's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.